All right, turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Go to Acts chapter 21. Paul's making his way to Jerusalem again. In Acts chapter 21, verse 9. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea certain prophets named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hand and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, notice he'd already had prophecies before. Here's another prophecy. But Paul's not taken away. He neither counts his life dear unto himself. He's got a course to go. He's going the course no matter what. I mean, I was thinking about what happens if we knew that what we preach was going to bring us harm or evilness. And would we stop? And the answer to that most of the time would be absolutely yes. And so Paul has been pre-warned. He's heading to Jerusalem. This guy, Agabus, grabs his girdle. Everybody's testifying that the person that owns this girdle is going to be in trouble. They're going to bind this guy. And Paul, you got to remember, is in trouble for a very particular reason here. And the Holy Ghost is incredible. I heard some men on the radio yesterday talking about this. And they tried to apply it as if they believed the same gospel that James believed. I want to show you that that's an impossibility. Verse 12. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. They said, please don't go. You're going to... Why? What do they know? Well, he had already been preached that bonds and afflictions were going to abide with him. Here's some more of that exact prophecy. But they can't stop Paul. Listen, when it's your ministry, you're going to go through with it no matter what. And even Paul, people are telling him that things are going to happen to Paul. Well, if good things only happen to Christians, you know what I'm saying? Why would they be telling that bonds and afflictions abide with Paul? I mean, if we have this protection, why aren't they just praying, well, we'll protect your thing? And guess what happens? They snag him. We're going to read about that out of the temple and shut the door and won't let him go in again. And the point that I'm trying to make with you is that bonds and afflictions are abiding with Paul. Let me tell you, Paul was the greatest evangelist of Christ's time. You know, during that time when Christ called Paul, he went and suffered more than all, he said. And so the reality is in Acts chapter 20 and 21, then the things that we're hearing are pretty amazing. Go to Acts chapter 21 and read with me in verse 13. Then Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Boy, if that was what was required of Christianity today, they'd be empty pews. Verse 14, Acts chapter 21, verse 14. And when he had would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, they took up carriages and went on to Jerusalem. Verse 16, there went with us also a certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple. With them we should lodge. Look in verse 17, Acts chapter 21, verse 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brother gladly received us. And the days following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Now remember that they're told, go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 19, the Bible says this, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Talking about Peter and the 12 here. And he says, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." They had the authority to make agreements, if you will, for the Holy Ghost. These people, these 12 that we're talking about, after the cross, these 12 are the authority, even in a sense, above Paul. They have to be in agreement with what Paul's doing. Now, they don't have to understand what Paul is doing. You understand? This is very important. Let me drive this point home just a little bit. They do not have to understand what Paul is doing. They have to be in agreement with what Paul's doing. Illustration. Peter said over in Peter that some of the things Paul spoke of was hard to be understood. He didn't understand it. But he knew it was the will of God. How did he know that? The Holy Ghost inside of Peter bared witness that what Paul was doing was what the Holy Ghost needed. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I mean, you've got to understand, Peter had no understanding to the total capacity of what Paul was talking about. He said some of those things are hard to understand. And yet, when they come to Jerusalem, they're all in agreement with this. Just like they were in Acts chapter 15, they were in agreement with it. So, whatever they shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And so Peter is binding what Paul is doing. Okay, hold on to here and go to Galatians. Hold on to Acts chapter 21. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, maybe we ought to cut up in the context just a little bit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Let's try this. The Bible says this, "But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John," that's James, Peter, and John, "when they saw," these were pillars, "when they saw and perceived," they didn't understand it, they just perceived that the grace was right. Why? It was the Holy Ghost perceiving. It was that which was inside of Peter, even though he didn't understand it, saying, "This is what I want to happen." There is an agreement to this. That is James, Peter, and John, all are giving agreement. Verse 9, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." The Holy Ghost was the one that communicated that to James, Cephas, and John. The Holy Ghost communicated to them. This is not a human action. This isn't something that they humanly just agreed upon. It would be like, in their mind, they kept going, "You need to agree upon this. That's what I want done." Peter's going like that. Hang on. You've got to think of what must have been going through Peter's mind. Think about it. He knows that the whole action of God is for the 12 tribes. 12 men have already been chosen. Over here in the new kingdom, there's going to be a new city. And there's three apostles for each side, gates. And on those gates, on the foundation of those gates, are 12 apostles' names, are written, the 12 apostles. You've got to think, Peter's going, man, what is going on with this ministry? But the Holy Ghost inside of them persuades them to do that which is right in the eyes of God. Go back to Acts chapter 21. I'm just bearing out witness that there's a lot of things being witnessed, both by Gentiles and prophetess, already in agreement with Peter, James, and John. And now they're heading to Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 21 said what? Acts chapter 20 said what? "Bonds and afflictions abide with you." You go there, that's what's going to happen. And Paul says, "I neither count myself dear unto myself." Why? So that I can finish the course. So in Acts chapter 21, verse 18, "And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present." Verse 18, "And the days following, Paul went in." Well, who was James? Is the one in Galatians chapter 2, which echoes back. He was in agreement with what God said. He didn't understand it, and that's what I want you to see. When you get down in the passage, James didn't understand what was going on. Now, I haven't got to that point, but I want to bear that point out before we get there. So when we get there, it should slap you in the face. They weren't preaching the same gospel. There was a counsel toward the law that Paul didn't have. And he's at the temple. Now, there's a little bit of confusion about this. Why would Paul be at the temple? Does Paul know at this point that none of these things matter? Yeah, he knows it doesn't matter. So why is Paul showing up at the feast day in Jerusalem? That's a great question, isn't it? You got to ponder on that a little bit. You can't just spit out an answer and think, I've got the answer. Why is Paul, who knows the grace of God, isn't based upon any human effort, showing up at the temple for a feast day to offer sacrifices? Anybody got an answer? Well, it is a little bit of the Jew first, but hang on. It's simply because he wants to win some of these to the truth. And if he opposes the law in every form, they would not listen to him. But hang on, look what happened. Remember, bonds and afflictions abide in him, so you know he's going to be in trouble here. Now watch, verse 18 again. And the day following, Paul went in with us. Went in what? The temple with us, unto James and all the elders. Where were the elders, James, Peter, and John? Where were they? The temple. They have not moved from Acts chapter 2. Watch this. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. They have not moved. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And the breaking bread from house to house did eat. Where were they? Continuing daily in the what? Well, then that tells me that Peter thinks that there's something unique about the what? Temple. And so they're doing ongoing Jewish practices. Things haven't changed for Peter and James and John. They're abiding at the temples. So all I'm trying to say is that there's a lot that has been transpiring. And guess where Paul's going? It's kind of strange when you think about it. And the guys made a couple great points, but their problem was that they didn't rightly divide the scriptures. I believe Paul was for a Jew, and for a Gentile, so that he might win the more of them. That's what the Bible says. And so he's at this temple, and James and the elders, they already know that what Paul is doing is of the Holy Ghost. Why do we know that? Galatians chapter 2. What do we know about Galatians chapter 2? Well, in the 15th chapter is where that records that. They had already given him the right hand of the fellowship. Cephas and John, I want to say Peter every time that comes in, so you know who we're talking about, gave them the right hand of fellowship and bound that based upon Matthew chapter 16. Whatever you shall bound on earth. So they're in agreement. So now they're glad to hear Paul's coming. They're glad to hear Paul's coming. And when they come, they bring him into fellowship. The Holy Spirit is witnessing of all this. This is why it's written in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is witnessing of all these things. And people get all confused. Now watch. Verse 19. And when he had saluted them, why did he salute them? He's showing respect. He declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Why is James making that issue about they're zealous of the law? He's trying to say, you know, Paul, you know, we've been hearing that you've been teaching not that there's no law. And we've been hearing these things. These Jews also believe, but they're keeping the law. Now, let me tell you, if you're a Church of Christ or you something like that and you believe the law has a part in it, what Paul says here is almost profound. I mean, it definitely shows the division of where we are. And they are all zealous of the law in verse 20, verse 21 now. And they are all informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to be circumcised their children, neither to walk after the customs. Isn't that what Paul taught? Well, he did teach that. Why? You can't have grace and works at the same time. There's a problem there. You can't, I mean, if you come across and understand this, Paul cannot go against that which the Holy Ghost has told him to teach. Well, what did he teach? Well, let's show a couple things. Go to Romans, and I'm just going to run through these quickly. A lot of these you'll know. I'm not trying to come up with something new today. I'm not trying to impress you with how smart I am. Just believe your Bible this morning. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, look, if you will, in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the what? You know why he has to preach that? We're in the dispensation of grace. He doesn't have the legal right not to preach that. He is bound by the Holy Spirit to preach that which is truth. What is it? that we are no longer under the law. Were some of the Romans under the law? Yeah, we know that they were under the law. Why? In Romans chapter 2, he talks about, I write to you that knoweth the law. I'm writing to you that know the law. There were some Romans that were Jews. They were just at Rome. And he's preaching to these people at Rome that you're not under the law. Look in, if you will, in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. He says, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness hath attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. He's talking about the law. Paul is definitely teaching that the law of Moses is done away with. He is absolutely teaching that doctrine. What they accuse Paul of in Acts chapter 21 is exactly what the Holy Spirit is telling him to teach. He says, verse 3 again, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So why, Paul, are you going back to this temple? Why are you even engaging in that? I believe so you might win the sum of them. I'm just going to give you a couple other verses to write down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, you know what that says about the law being taken out of the way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, law been taken out of the way. Acts chapter 21 again, back there. Acts 21, 21. And they are affirmed to thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Why didn't he say tell the Gentiles to forsake the law of Moses? Here's a hint. Gentiles were never under the law. I mean, he's teaching the Jews that are among the Gentiles. Where are the Romans? There are Jews among the Gentiles. What did he just teach them? That the law was done away with in Romans. I mean, that's what he's teaching. That's what James is confronting him. Listen, they didn't understand it. If they understood it all, they wouldn't have been saying that. He's bringing it up because of the confusion. But he can't go against the Holy Ghost. So when he saw Paul in those first few verses that we read, guess what? He received him because the Holy Spirit told him, receive him. Just like they did in Galatians chapter 2 and Acts 15. That's right. I'm saying they didn't understand, but they had to because the Holy Ghost told them that's the way it was. So, those people that had the Holy Ghost, did they understand everything? No, but it was given to them the things they needed to know. You understand? They didn't know everything. They were only given that information minutes or hours before it happened. There were things that were confusing when you get in with Paul. What do you mean teaching them to forsake the law? Why are you telling Jews to do that? Well, why would that cause any conflict? Why would that cause conflicts? They were both preaching to Jews, and therefore there would be some divisions among them. And guess what Corinthians is all about? And so he's going to Jerusalem, not opposing the Jewish law, standing up with the Jewish law to show them that, hey, I'm doing this out of honor. It was kind of like the salute when they came in. He honored them. He respected them. But he never counted it once toward his salvation or anyone else's salvation. He never switched his doctrine. He's doing it for the Jews to bring about unity among them. There were some, and you got to think about this. There are really a lot of people going on. At this time when both of these ministries are going, there are people communicating back and forth. But God, you got to remember, has a group going into the kingdom and he has another group going into heaven called the body of Christ. And you can't, once you're in this ministry, you're not in this ministry. And if you're in this ministry, you're not in that ministry. And so the Holy Spirit had to have a way of separating that, and it was done through the unction. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? It was confusing at that point because there was two ministries running simultaneously. At the end of the book of Acts, somewhere toward the end of the book of Acts, I don't know, maybe from 22 to 28, somewhere in there, the ministry to the Jews totally ceased. He didn't get it all. Now, go back to Acts chapter 21 now. Verse 22. Where is it therefore? the multitudes must need to come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them, them take and purify themselves with them. He's asking, look, I want you to prove to these other Jews that you're in line with this. You know, Paul submits to that. Paul shaves his head, takes a vow. Paul is in purification with them for 7 days. Is Paul offended? Listen, let me ask you a question. Do we have to be... Now, I don't believe Christmas is a Christian holiday, but I'm not afraid of Christmas either. You all understand? It doesn't change the fact that I'm totally and completely righteous in Christ. If someone invited me over for Christmas dinner, what do you think I'd do? I'd go over and eat. That's what Paul's doing. It doesn't offend me. I know the truth. The truth shall make you... Yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about that. It's if you got the truth, you got the truth. You don't have to be Mr. Dogmatic and look at me and you're such a heathen. It's not that attitude at all. And Paul's taking this vow and going into this temple doing Jewish things when Paul knows in his mind that none of this. In fact, look at the attitude toward Paul toward these things. Go to Philippians. I think this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Philippians 3. Verse 4, the Bible says this, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. What did he think about all that stuff in the temple he was doing in Acts chapter 21? He thought it was... He knew it had nothing to do with him and his walk and his salvation and all that. I mean, do you all understand that? I mean, Paul is well aware, and yet he's submitting himself to some Jewish laws which he knows are mute. Folks, listen, let me tell you, the realization is that Paul is doing some things that would really be in opposition of what grace was teaching. But he's doing it that he might win the more. And James is saying, look, you better do this because people are going to really oppose you. People aren't going to listen to you. Remember what he said when he first started preaching in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39? Be known unto you that this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and all them that believe are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Very first, we know that right out of the bat, he's not preaching the law. He's saying you can be justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Very first time he preaches. And some men took offense. Who took offense? The Jews. How do we know? Why, the next day the Gentiles came, the whole city, right? And they got jealous, and they, the Jews, were about to destroy him for the things he said. In Acts chapter 22, verse 21, he's out there telling them that God has sent them far hence onto the Gentiles. Man, those Jews weren't going to put up with that for a minute. They didn't believe that. Folks, what they believed was completely different than Paul. Go back, those things he counted but dung. Go back to Acts chapter 21. Are you all getting anything out of this morning? Okay. And he said, verse 24, Acts 21, verse 24, the Bible says this, take them and purify thyself with them and be charged... And be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know those things wherefore they are informed concerning thee are nothing. They'll realize that it's no big deal, that you haven't forsaken the law, you haven't done that. But that thou thyself also walk orderly and keepest the law. Paul knew already what was going on. In fact, I would tell you that Paul already knew that the Jews were going to come to an end at one point, probably at this point. So why do this? There's only one answer, and that is to appease and to show them that I believe to the Gentiles that none of this matters. I could do all this and it's never going to affect what I do in Christ. Listen, you do things that are against the Word of God, God's grace is bestowed. He didn't count any confidence in this. In fact, in the Galatians, early in his ministry, one of the first books probably he wrote, or very close to the front, he says you observe days, months, times, and years. And sees, and he says, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed. And here he is keeping the feast himself. See, when you think of it in that perspective, he didn't get all wrapped up in all this legalism. He did it because James asked him to do it. And he knew, listen, if someone asked me to take of the Lord's Supper, I know it is absolutely incorrect. Would I go to hell? Would it change my faith? But if I didn't take it, it might offend somebody next to me. And you know what? Listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't submit myself to it if I had to, but if I got caught in it, you know, I would do it for their... I'll give you an illustration of this. I do not believe you ought to pray out loud. You can disagree with me, whatever. I believe there are times when the congregation pray together. I do believe that. And I do believe... But people go out at lunchtime and pray like they're being seen of men. And Matthew tells us not that's not the way to pray. To enter the closet, you pray and do that. But being a pastor and going to family events, guess who they always ask to pray? The pastor. Pastor, will you say the blessing? And I said... Or they'll say, please say grace. And so I'll joke them and say, grace, but so that I don't offend them. Guess what I do? I pray. Now, I could say, guys, this isn't for us. You know, they have not a clue what's going on. That isn't going to help them get saved. They're going to say, that is a weirdo. That's what they're going to say. I had one lady come to church and said, you don't pray much before. I said, lady, if I hadn't prayed enough before I get behind the pulpit, one more prayer isn't going to help. Now, I believe in prayer. I just don't believe in making a show of prayer. So what does religion tell you to do? Pray when you go out into the streets? And what did God tell you? Not to pray when you're out in the streets. He said when you pray, you ought to pray to God in secret. And him that seeth in secret will reward thee openly. That's what God said. So what happens in our society is we tend to do that. Paul is trying to show everybody that none of this matters. He's trying to show, hey, just relax. I'm not going back under the law. I'm not... into legalism. Paul was as far away from legalism as it was possibly capable of getting away. So why submit to James? To bring about unity and not a bunch of divisions against Christ. If you cause too much division, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You know, there are six things that God hates in Proverbs 7. He says, six things I hate, yea, seven are abomination, and one of them is sowing discord among the brethren. If he'd have really resisted here, guess what would have happened? He'd have been sowing discord among the brethren. He knew that Israel was going to be set aside. He knew those ordinances was going to go. And how did God finally end it all? In Acts 80-70, what happened? God, man, he just basically said, it's over. And they destroyed the temple. And the temple from 80-70 to now has never been rebuilt. You know what God was saying to Israel? You can't sacrifice here anymore. But at this time, Israel still has some preeminence. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 3? What advantage hath the Jew? You know, much in every way. They had an advantage. And so they knew that. And so in Acts chapter, he's just trying not to sow discord. He's trying to keep peace. He knows. Remember, I believe he got that vision in Acts chapter 14 that he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I mean, he in a sense realizes what's going to happen. I was given unspeakable words. What would be unspeakable words? That God was going to forsake Israel completely and start saving Gentiles? Are you kidding me? I mean, look at Jim. There's no way God would save a Jim. But Paul knew that at this point and still submitted under the law. Why? So he wouldn't sow discord among the brethren. It wasn't that he was in agreement with all that or that he thought he needed to do this for Christ's sake. So when people say, well, see, Paul was keeping the law, you ought to keep the law. No way. 25. And keepest the law, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they... Where did they do that? Acts chapter 15. You need to write that. That's where it was written. That's where they wrote that. It was already discussed with the Gentiles. Did Paul think the Gentiles needed to do that? No. No way. But he submitted again to the elders. Now watch this. Verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself... with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishments of the days of purification, which had to do with the feast days, until an offering should be offered for every one of them. Get a hold of this, folks. Paul is submitting to a blood sacrifice for him and these other men. I mean, you know, I think people say, well, I've got this Bible figured out. Every time I read this Bible, I'm shaking my head. You know, if I ever get this book down, it'll be amazing. But let me tell you, I can see that how people get confused. Well, Paul must be under the law. Hey, maybe after you get saved, you should be under the law too. Well, I don't get my doctrine out of a transitional book. I get my doctrine out of what my apostle told me in Romans through Philemon. But let me tell you, there'll be some Bible-confused person come to you, listen to me, and they'll try to pull this on you. And you better be prepared. You better know. And you better be able to take them, well, that's true. Oh, this is true. But let me show you what Paul said. What happened in Acts chapter 21 and what was written in Romans through Philemon are two different messages. Now watch. The end of verse 26. Until an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were at Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hand on him, crying, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law, and this place, the temple, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." He never took a Greek in. "For they had seen him before with him in the city of Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." He never brought him in. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul." Didn't he tell them that nothing he was going to do was going to stop the bonds and affliction? It was prophesied in Acts chapter 20, right above this in Acts chapter 21, that when if he goes to Jerusalem, what was going to happen? So he's trying to submit to the Jews, trying not to stir up a bunch of stink, trying not to do any of that. And guess what happens? You know what? Listen, you cannot keep from what happened with the Word of God. Do you understand that? It's going to happen to you if you stand up for the Word of God. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? He could have submitted to everything and it wasn't going to happen. Why? The Holy Ghost had already bared witness he was going to have some problems. Verse 30, "And all the city was moved and the people ran together and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut, keeping him out. And as they went about to kill him, the tidings came unto him, the chief captain of the band, that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." Can you imagine this scene? "Who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down with them. And when they saw the chief captains and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. And then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded them to be bound with two chains, and commanded on and on. Bonds and afflictions abide." He couldn't have avoided that even if he'd have submitted to the whole law. He was going to get it anyway. But the fact was, and the thing that I wanted you to see today, is that Paul did submit to the law after he got saved, not to say that we ought to keep the law after we get saved,
right,
but that the law had no effect on him. The things he did wasn't going to affect him. What a great testimony of the grace of God. You don't have to worry. Taste not, touch not. You can relax. I want everybody to take a deep breath. Just let it go. Listen, people want you to say a prayer and you know that you shouldn't be praying. Pray. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to send you to hell. It's not going to change your life. Don't act so pious and so haughty. Sometimes we as grace believers do that kind of stand up so that we can almost be so independent from everyone. Listen, let me tell you what. We need to have the attitude that we can go out and preach the gospel. That's the whole point, is to get people saved and to come onto the knowledge of the truth.